Welcome once again to The Business Side, our weekly deep dive into some business topics in and around Lexington. And I'm standing in the middle of a massive structure on West Loudoun Avenue. And of course, we're talking about the latest venture from No Lie CDC. And joining me is Chris Nunn with the No Lie CDC. Welcome to The Business Side.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so over the weekend, you had a very successful winter market that was here on Saturday. I think it was from 1 to 6. Got a lot of feedback and rolled out some new information about this structure too, correct?
Correct. So we had a great turnout. We had a great showing. Thank you for everybody who came out. We had a great time, had lots of vendors, lots of great art, crafts, food, music performances. Just more of what you're used to at the night market. And what we saw from that is that there is an incredible demand. I mean, we've been hearing it for years, but there's an incredible demand from neighborhood entrepreneurs for a space like this, a space where they can come together and drive foot traffic, a space where they cannot take on as much risk as they grow their small business, a space where they can interact with each other and really create community around entrepreneurialism. And so we're really excited about the potential to continue developing that and seeing where that leads.
And this is a very, very long-term project. Walk me through how long it has taken to get to this point.
Well, I don't know how, if you want to talk about Glacial, but so the building we're standing in was built in 1928. It was a regional bus station from 1928 until the 1960s. It was then bought by Lextran in the 1970s. It had public market and other things in it. It actually had a Mexican market in it at one point, a supermercado. There was all kinds of different businesses in here, printing press. And Lextran, when they started studying how they wanted to grow, they started studying it, I think, in 2010 or even before then, and had plans to tear this building down. The neighborhood got wind of it and listed it on the historic register, which prevented Lextran, a public entity, from spending federal funds to tear it down, which they would have had to do in order to finance it. So that really forced their hand, and they then switched their focus down to the old GE site down the street, which ultimately is a much better spot for them, bigger lot. So that meant that this building had no purpose, had no necessity. And so we were talking to Lextran, and ultimately it came up for auction, and Chad Needham bought it in 2018. We applied for a grant from the Knight Cities Challenge, the Knight Foundation of Knight Newspapers, in 2015, and we received $550,000 as seed money to really make this idea something that we had money to put toward developing, had money to put toward hiring consultants, and ultimately we ended up hiring our neighbors to research the market demand for a space like this and the components that they wanted to see in it. So 2015 was when we really got on board. The building was listed on the register 5 years before that, but we've been working on it for the past 4 years in a very sort of slow way as opportunities present themselves. And now with the building under construction, as you can hear and see, we're in a place where people can actually start seeing it. And so that's why the winter market was so meaningful, was to get people in here and go from talking about it to actually being able to see it and touch it. So there's a lot of people that are real excited about that. As most people do when they can actually see something being tangible.
Oh yeah, and you rolled out a new name for this project, correct?
We did. So the working title had been the Common Market. That was something that my predecessor Richard Young and I dreamed up when we applied for the grant, and we've always called it that. But earlier this year, we engaged a group of neighbors to say, "What do we want to call this thing? What do we want the message to be?" And so, as we went through that process, we had probably 20 or 30 people sitting around the table spitballing ideas, and they said, "We really want this to really capture the ambitions and energy, and we need to have a name that does that." And so we landed on a woman named Julia Etta Lewis, who was a Lexington civil rights leader in the 1960s. She did all kinds of incredible things. She worked for the Housing Authority. She was a registered nurse. She, in the 1960s, was the president of CORE, the Congress on Racial Equality, and in partnership with NAACP and Audrey Grievous, they collaborated, these two women leaders, two black women leaders who, as many historians have said who've written about it, they said, you know, to be a black woman is to have two strikes against you before you even start. to have these two women collaborate and to strategize about how to stage sit-ins and protests and stand-ins and really work on the inequality and the discrimination that existed at lunch counters and at places like department stores, transportation. All of that was really, we felt like, very powerful, and what we hope this can sort of stand on the shoulders of as a way of leveling the playing field when you start looking at racial inequality, generational wealth gaps, all of that. It really comes down to opportunities, and we want this to be an opportunity for everyone to thrive and to do something they love and to support themselves and their family. So Miss Lewis seemed like the perfect person who had that spirit and that energy, and so we're so grateful that her family, her friends, her colleagues have been on board and have met with us and shared stories and really supported the process. We've been very grateful for all of them to support that, and that, you know, they're very excited about it, which we're very grateful for, because this is something that Miss Lewis was someone who did not like the limelight, and so to have someone as her niece Andrea Cunningham has told me many times, she said, now that my auntie's dead, I can bring her all the praise that she deserves and she can't yell at me about it. So we're very grateful for the opportunity to be able to partner to do that.
Talk about selling this as a viable business model for other communities in and around our area.
So the business model is really one of trying to create a place that has a lot of different moving parts. So instead of it being singularly focused, we're really trying to check off a lot of different needs. And so in terms of a model, the model of community center is one that we've seen played out not only in Lexington but nationwide. But a lot of times it lacks programming, it lacks vibrancy, in my opinion. And I know that those folks do a great job and work really hard, but I think, you know, everybody has to eat. And so to have food here, to have programming, to have a space for young people to come that's free, that they can get into, that, you know, to have performances, to have a platform for people to express themselves, a platform for people to sell the goods and showcase their talents. I think that as a model is something that what we're really doing is we're really trying to create an aggregation of all of that. And it's a big lift. That's why a lot of people don't do it. I was just talking to a family member over Thanksgiving, and he said, so what's the model? Where has this been done before? And I said, well, there's bits and pieces that have been done elsewhere, but we haven't really found, we're not copying anything. And I think that that's both a beautiful thing and a very daunting thing. So we're really excited that the Julietta Market, sorry, I didn't mention in the last section that the actual name is Julietta Market, after Miss Julietta Lewis, has the potential to really be something that can innovate, not because it's a brand new idea, but as a way of recombining all of the strengths and beautiful aspects of what this community is.
Chris Nahn, thank you very much for your time on the business side.
Thank you so much for talking with us.